Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so we explore that intersection of teaching and creativity pretty much every week, although it's kind of hit or miss. And we're going to take a deep dive into something that's tangentially connected to creativity. And it's really something that happened to me this year that changed my perspective of not just creativity and teaching, but also, to a large extent, life. Now, I wasn't always a dog lover. I used to be a dog liker, and most of the time, kind of a dog tolerator. I never understood why people would get bumper stickers with their favorite dog breed on it, and I cringed a little when I heard the phrase, "He's part of our family." To be honest, I never really loved walking into a house and having a dog jump at me, for example, or having to deal with just tons of fur on my clothes. But more recently, in the last, 6 months or so, I've become that guy, the dog lover. I have the bumper sticker. I refer to Jasmine, our dog, as part of the family. And yes, I even have pictures of my dog on my phone. I'm a dog person. Or more specifically, I'm a greyhound guy. And here's why. A year ago, we decided to adopt a rescue dog, a retired racing greyhound. We knew we wanted a dog that was a little lower energy, more introverted, and less likely to bark. In other words, a dog that was, kind of like me. We had done our research ahead of time, and we knew she would be a good choice for our family. And to be honest, we weren't choosing this dog for us. My wife and I would be just fine without a dog, or so we thought. We were doing this for our kids. But then Jasmine, our dog, got really, really sick, and we couldn't adopt her. We waited for months. I remember looking at the picture from the website, and there was one moment where we got to meet her in person, and I kept thinking, gosh, I hope it turns out for us. But then about halfway through the year, we got her. She became a member of our family. Now, contrary to popular belief, most retired racers aren't old. They're somewhere between 2 to 5 years old, and she was about 2.5 when we first adopted her. And it wasn't easy at first. She struggled in our house for the first week or so. She was a bit aloof and somewhat timid. She had a really hard time doing things like learning how to go up the stairs, for example. But after a few weeks of socialization, we grew closer and closer. She started to cuddle up next to us, and we started to read her body language and figure her out. And then something happened. I fell in love with this dog, and so did my family. She wasn't just a family pet. She was truly a member of our family. There was a moment where she got away, not for a long amount of time. I was able to kind of get her back. I knew that I couldn't chase her. I mean, greyhounds can hit 45 miles an hour. But when she came back, tail wagging, when I called her name, I was so relieved. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, what would have happened if she was truly gone? Again, she's become this creature living in our house at all times who we truly love and adore. And along the way, throughout this year that we've had her, or I should say half a year that we've had her, there's been some really important lessons on teaching and life and creativity. So here are 8 lessons from this adopted greyhound. Number 1, learning requires risk-taking. Now, our dog hated the stairs at first. I mentioned that. She was terrified when we tried to coax her upstairs, and she even hated it more when she had to climb downstairs. However, we knew that she needed to figure this thing out. If she was going to go upstairs to where she slept and hung out with the family, and then downstairs to go potty, well, I can't believe I just said potty on a podcast, but we would have to help her figure it out. We used treats and verbal affirmation. We focused on the affective side of learning, and slowly she moved each paw forward. It was a visual reminder for me that learning is often terrifying. Exciting, yes, but also nerve-wracking. I mention this because I really struggled this last semester with the statistics class I was taking. It was this advanced stats class, and it was kicking my butt. I mentioned it before in a previous podcast episode. And there were moments where it was so scary, I just wanted to give up. I wasn't sure how I would figure out how to do what I was going to do. But ultimately, as I struggled through the content, I actually became more empathetic toward the pre-service teachers I work with each week. And this is why I believe that teachers should learn things that are completely outside of their comfort zone. They should learn how to play a new instrument or learn a new language or do something that's completely outside of what they know, because I think it makes you more empathetic toward your students. And again, this is something that I saw with my own dog. She had to take creative risks. Number two, it's pretty simple. Spend more time outside. We once had this Scottish Terrier who would get so high strung when you didn't walk her that she would like run around, just sprint through the house, barking at like 8 o'clock at night, right when we'd put the kids down for bed. But our Greyhound isn't like that. She is chill. And if you don't take her for a walk, she doesn't really care. She's the ultimate couch potato. Again, it's one of these myths that people have about greyhounds. They're not high energy dogs. But this means I don't have to take her out for a walk. And yet, because she's a sight hound and we don't have a fenced in yard, I still have to take her out a few times a day, if you know what I mean. And this means I've taken her out late at night and early in the morning. And I noticed that she loves being outside. She loves listening to the sounds, staring off at distant movement, taking in all the scents around her. Here she's reminded me that I need to slow down. I need to soak in the natural world. I need to smell and to look and to listen. And I've rediscovered the wonder of staring out at the stars. See, we live in this neighborhood with no streetlights. We're at the very edge of town, which means that on cool summer evenings, I would often take our dog out for a stroll. And Jasmine and I would stare out at wonder all around us. And I would look at the vast canvas of the universe and just be overwhelmed with a sense of awe. And it was a reminder for me to get outdoors more often. I've started taking random short walks in the middle of the day when I'm stuck with a mental task. I'm trying to solve a particular problem. And it turns out that these nature walks, again, where I take our dog out for a random 10-minute walks, it turns out that these nature walks are vital for creativity. There's fascinating research on the fact that when you take walks, when you experience mind-wandering boredom, when you get outside and kind of take a brain break, that actually boosts divergent thinking. It helps you with creativity. And meanwhile, the natural world often inspires better design through this process called biomimicry. In other words, my dog has reminded me that if I want to be more creative, I have to get outside. Number three, it's okay to be an introvert. My dog is an introvert. I didn't realize that was possible with dogs, but it is totally true of our dog. She is an introvert. She likes to have me time. She doesn't get up and jump up and run to the door anytime someone rings the doorbell. I mean, that's not who she is. If things get too loud or too crazy, she will just quietly get up and walk to the other room. When she meets other dogs and they start wrestling around with each other, she will quietly move away from the pack of wrestling loud dogs and just watch. And this has been a reminder as I watch her that it's okay to be an introvert. It's not a bad thing that I love spending hours alone during the day reading and writing and making stuff. Yes, I miss teaching eighth grade. I love that job. But my job as a professor allows me to work out of my introverted identity without feeling guilty. I can teach classes a couple times a week, and then the rest of the time I can be a true introvert. For what it's worth, I actually think it's possible to thrive as an introvert in a classroom, in a K-12 classroom. I think there's a hidden strength to introverts that we need to recognize and celebrate. And I think Greyhound can remind us that, guess what? Being an introvert is a good thing. All right, number four, rest is vital. A few years ago, I read this book, Rest, and I love it. It's one of my favorite books I've read in the last couple of years. I actually did a book club on it recently online on Facebook because I just love exploring these ideas connected to the book of Rest. And one of the things that the author gets into is the fact that rest is actually vital for helping us with our creativity. It helps you make these connections in your synapses between multiple unrelated ideas. It increases problem solving. It helps you to engage in deep work. It leads to divergent thinking. I mean, rest is vital. And again, it could be exercise. It could be walks. It could be naps. But I see this with my dog all the time. Again, I mentioned that she's a total couch potato. And my dog is reminding me, sometimes I'll be working really, really hard. I had a busy semester, a far too busy semester. I took on way too much. I said yes to way too much. And sometimes I would be working and I would get anxious about how much I had to do. And I would find myself in this rat race style thing. And I would look over to the dog bed where Jasmine would be just asleep. And she'd look up at me calmly, give me this look like, what are you doing? And it was this reminder to slow down. She is this visual reminder every day to slow down. Again, she sleeps all the time. I mean, all the time. And yet, if you see her at the dog park, we took her to the dog park just yesterday. She sprints. She runs fast. She's highly energetic. And it was a reminder that there's something about that pace of resting and sprinting, of slowing down, that I need to recover this year. Number five, play every day. Although our dog is not super energetic, again, she's not at all energetic. She's a total couch potato. She will spend about 15 to 20 minutes a day, sometimes even an hour, and just play. She plays with my daughter, and this year that was the first person in our house that she would play with on a daily basis. And then my two sons, who were older than her, she started playing with them. She plays fetch and tug of war, and she just loves playing upstairs with the kids. And I mention this because it has me thinking about play and the fact that play is vital for creativity. It's not an accident that some of the most creative companies incorporate elements of play into their day. Their workers literally play with each other. They laugh with each other. They have fun. And I've been thinking about just this idea that being playful is necessary for creativity, and being playful is necessary for teaching. Number six is empathy. And it's the idea that empathy is more about actions than it is about words. I never thought that my dog would teach me a lesson on empathy. But there was this period in this year when one of our kids were really struggling. It wasn't tragic. It wasn't any kind of family crisis. But again, it was just one of my children was just having a hard time. But it was very real. And while I found myself trying to speak into my son's life, and offer words of wisdom, our dog, Jasmine, just walked over to him and licked his hands and nuzzled her face into his chest. And for the next few hours, she followed him around, silently staying right with him, knowing that a member of her pack was hurting. And for me, it was this reminder that that's empathy. We often talk about empathy and design thinking. Designers will often use interviews and surveys to try to build more empathy with the audience, and that's a good thing. We want that. But I wonder if what we really need is more time, more listening, more silence, more observation, more watching, more hanging around, more just being there if we want to develop empathy. We need more trust building. I wonder if sometimes we short-circuit true empathy when we focus on words rather than actions and presence. Number 7, there's power in the positive. We've taught Jasmine how to sit, and she does a really good job, and how to shake, and she's kind of mediocre, and how to come when we call her, and how to lay down. But we've stuck entirely to praise and treats, and she's responded really well. We don't use really any kind of negative reinforcement because, you know, greyhounds are so sensitive that it can just crush their spirit if you are too harsh with them. I remember one time when she peed on the carpet and I wanted to yell at her. And my wife reminded me of our plan to just stick with the positive reinforcements, and then it worked. Our dog came around within the next few days. Now, I get it. Humans aren't the same as greyhounds. I understand. In the past, I've railed against behaviorism and manipulative uses of punishments and rewards. And yet, I think there's something to be said about positive reinforcement and the fact that even when we are doing what we love, we need some of that. I recently read the book Finish by John Acuff. I love this book. I highly, highly recommend it. And he talked about giving yourself rewards when you hit certain benchmarks in your creative work. When you set deadlines and you meet them, basically, you give yourself a reward. It might be, in his case, scented candles. It might be that you give yourself a day off, but you get the idea. I recently finished the draft on the first draft on a book, and I was super excited about this book. And right when I finished the draft, I was about to jump into another project. And instead, I told myself the next day, you get a day off, a real day off. So I binge watched The Great British Bake Off, and I went on a long walk, and I just hung out and did nothing. And that was my reward. The point is, I'm starting to see that positive rewards have a place in the classroom, in my life, in my creative work. But it goes deeper than that. There's a lot of negativity in the world. And while I see the value of critical voices in education and on social media, I'm reminded that there's a value in optimism. There's a value in positivity. As odd as this sounds, my greyhound is reminding me that it's okay to be optimistic, that optimism works. It actually does change behavior. It actually does improve the lives of the people around you. It doesn't mean that you ignore the negative. It just means that you choose to embrace the positive. And then finally, number 8 is to be open to new experiences. Greyhounds are creatures of habit. They prefer routines. When I moved her bed to put up our Christmas tree, I know, we have a fake tree. You can judge me for it if you want. She paced around the room in confusion, and yet her year has been full of changes. She's new to our family and new to our life, a life outside of the racetrack. But once she got over those hurdles, and she did feel a lot of stress, she's become a member of our family. During Christmas break, Jasmine spent a week at a friend's house who also has a retired racer. And when we arrived at the door, she was barking and jumping and spinning in circles, things that are not very typical of the typically understated demeanor of a greyhound. I mean, they just don't bark. And it was a reminder to me to be open to new ideas and to new perspectives and to new experiences and to new relationships. The last few years have been amazing because of the changes that have experienced in my life. A new job, a new state, a new community, a new neighborhood, a bunch of new friends that I've grown to love. I'm naturally averse to change, but as I think about this new year, I am reminded of the value in embracing the new, even if it's a little bit uncomfortable. Thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I know today was a little bit different as a podcast topic. It was pretty personal, but I hope that some aspect of it resonated with you. If you enjoy this podcast, would you do me a favor and leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening, and go out and make something awesome.